Ebenezer family and friends, it is just so good to be connected one more time. Has the Lord blessed anybody out there? Just kind of lift up your hands, just shake your hands, your feet, just tap those feet and wiggle those toes, because God has been so good to us all. I just want to thank you for your continual prayers for Ebenezer. We're growing. God is adding to the body as he sees fit. Just some things that are going on, ebcnc.com. Please continue to check it out. We've got so many things there to help you, to edify you, to encourage you in your growth in the Lord as we're renewing our mind. Also want to thank you for just supporting our online ministry when it comes to our different Bible studies. We've got Monday Manna, Tuesday Noonday Bible Study. Wednesday, we have our virtual connection at 7 o'clock where we're going through the book of Luke. It's been an amazing time just going line upon line, precept upon precepts. On Thursdays, we actually have an in-person Bible study at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary where we're going through the book of 1 John. And the Lord has just been so gracious. This Friday, just want to let you know, we have a church conference. We just want to just connect and just bring everybody up to date, our members, on the things that are going on in Ebenezer. And I can tell you, the Lord has just been so good. I say that because he has been wonderful to the body of Ebenezer and the surrounding community as he's just speaking to our hearts. And we just love anybody love him. Just say, I love him in the chat, because he has been so good. I want to thank you for visiting with us, if this is your first time visiting with us. But most importantly, if you're not saved, please confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and he says you will be saved. As we go into the teaching of the day, I pray that it speaks directly to your heart. And we've got information on our website to learn more about what God does when he saves us and transforms us from the inside out. Finally, just want to thank you for your generosity that's changing lives. It truly is. Our Ebenezer family has been touched. We've been able to do a lot of things within the church and also in the community as we reach out all the way to Haiti, Jamaica areas, just putting forth the gospel. And it's because of you purposing in your heart, and God loves a cheerful giver. Well, I am ready to get in the word, and I pray you are. I want our hearts to be prepared as we think about how good the Lord is. We'll see you soon.
Good morning, Saints. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good morning.
I will be reading 1 Thessalonians, starting with verse 12 to 23. Various exhortations. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord, admonishing you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. The scripture for the day.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. Grace.
Saved? Are you excited to know Christ? Are you excited to have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you? If you are, just clap those hands. Just clap them. And if you know how to put that emoticon in the chat, just put those clapping hands emoticon, because I'm telling you, God's grace has been abundant in our lives. As we're getting back into Renew Our Mind, I've just been tremendously blessed by the Lord in walking from the Old Testament to the New Testament and just dealing with how we learn, how God renews our mind. Remember that memory verse that we have been reading every Sunday, reading it into our minds so it'll get into our hearts, Romans 12:2. And as we put that on the screen, I want you to read it with me, because we're getting in there. Some of you already got it, but I wanted to get deep down in your spirit. So Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's getting in there. It's getting in there. That's going to be our mantra as we're just walking closer and closer to the Lord. Well, I want you to please go in a word of prayer with me. And also I want you to pray for yourself, that the Holy Spirit will speak directly to you and give you what you need in this season and time. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this day that you've made. Lord, so much is going on in our world, in our country. But Lord, we come and we sit at your feet. We worship you, Lord, and we need you. We need you. We need you in our lives. And thank you for your wonderful salvation. If there's someone that's viewing, listening in now that doesn't know you, I pray that today be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Thank you for your immense grace. Now, Lord, as we approach this word, I ask you to move me out of the way. Forgive me of my sins. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Thank you for dwelling in the believer, God. Thank you for enabling your son to go to that cross for us. So, Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Our focus scripture that we're going in today is John chapter 8 and the 31st verse, as we are really thinking about that renewal of our minds. So let's read John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." Listen to that again, John 8:31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." I have a subset scripture for you. It comes from John 15:7. Actually, I was in prayer the other day, and literally I just came across this portion of scripture, and the Lord spoke to my heart, I believe, and just to put it, just to read it, because it really builds the foundation that we're going to be dealing with today. So John 15:7, "If you abide in me," Jesus said, "and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." John 15:8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." I want to speak from a title today, Abide in the Word. Abide in the Word. So much has happened up to this point when you solidify the Gospels, bring them together. We believe it's probably around 32 A.D., Jesus has really just shown forth the power of his Father in his life, healing the sick, raising the dead, walking on water, multiplying bread and fish, turning water to wine. So many things have happened. But I would say that his primary source of giving to the people is his teaching. When he would teach, it was just, they would say it was like none other. It was different than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were taught, they had the intellectual capacity to get forth the word. They weren't living the life. And when they spoke the word, it wasn't with power. But Jesus, he comes forth, God manifested in flesh, and he opens up the word with parables and really getting to the heart of the men and women that were around. In this point of transitioning, he's been talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's been teaching that he is the light of the world. And we make this transition to John 8:28 as we're talking about abide in the word. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." Isn't that wonderful just to hear? Jesus says, I always do those things that please him. This is our first point. Please God. Yes, please God. I thought about this point. It actually can be said in different ways. To please God, we want to please him. And then please God, in that same semblance, we need him. We need to connect with him. We must desire to get closer to God on a daily basis. And my concern is that so many times we just kind of get used to God, especially if we are in a habit of just, you know, doing a Sunday or maybe doing a Bible study. We kind of go, okay, God, that's your day. And then we just kind of go back to our lives, and that desire is not really there. But saints of God, as we renew our mind, God wants us to desire him. He wants us to go after him. To renew our mind in him, this scripture really magnifies what God is doing on the inside of us in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who, there it is, diligently seek him. This is so important, because God expects us. He expects us as saints to really go after him. And so often in our lives, we've gone after careers, and we've gone after our matriculation in school. We've gone after men and women, relationships. But how many of us are really chasing after God, wanting to have more of him in our lives? That John 8:28, looking to that second part, he says, Jesus says this, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he." Now, this is the point I want to really focus on, and that I do nothing of myself. Jesus sets that example that it is all about following what the Father would have. Sometimes that's going to be uncomfortable. Sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes our flesh is not going to want to go that way, but it's all about abiding in the Word. It's all about pleasing God. In that John 8:29, that second part, the Father has not left me alone, Jesus said, for I always do those things, here it is, to please Him. Where is your life? Where is your life as you're walking forth on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Are you pleasing the Father? Do you really want to please Him in everything that you do? I'm telling you, the only way that we're going to get there is to abide in the Word. Look at John 8:30. As Jesus spoke these words, many believed in Him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed. Here's our next point. Disciple. Yes, disciples. Now, this is a critical point, because we hear this a lot within the Gospels, disciples. Merriam-Webster defines disciple as a convinced adherent of a school or individual. I want to read that again. A convinced adherent of a school or individual. I found this very interesting in applying this particular point, because God is telling us, in a sense, you got to be convinced of this. This can't be just a mental ascension to, but you got to be convinced past your mind into your heart. That renewal of mind has to get deep down into your spirit to know that God is God and God alone. Any witnesses out there, to know that God is real and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We're talking about abiding in the Word, desiring God with our whole mind, soul, and strength. Dallas Willard, he makes an interesting point. He said the word disciple occurs, here it is, 269 times. Can you put that in the chat? 269 in the New Testament Greek. Christian is found three times and was first introduced to refer precisely to the disciples. That's why we have to renew our mind within the Scripture, saying that we need to be those disciplined followers. We need to be convinced. Tony Evans really brings it to the point. He gives a profound thought when it comes to abiding in the Word. He wrote this. He said, people want salvation, but don't want to put in the time to be strong disciples of Jesus Christ. What many Christians want to do is to audit the Christian life. Somebody needs to say ouch. An audit is where a person goes to class to get information, but is not required to do any other work. They don't have to take a test or do any homework. They are only attending for informational purposes. They want the data without the responsibility. That's an audit. That's what some folks do every Sunday. They audit Jesus. Wow. To abide in the Word. Are you just auditing the class when it comes to Christ and just kind of hanging in there? Are you a participant? Are you going through the test and getting the grades and really trying to renew your mind in the Lord? Look at John 8:32. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, contextually, the Lord is dealing with Pharisees, Sadducees, but the crowd is around too. His disciples are there. So He's speaking to all of those in that area. This is the point. Truth leads to freedom. Yes, truth leads to freedom. As we're in this politically charged environment, people are talking about what's the truth, and they're talking about freedom, and they're talking about rights. But I want you to know, until we can abide in the Word, we don't understand what freedom is all about. We don't understand what truth is all about. Theologian Arthur Farstead brings out this point. He said, the Jews did not know the truth, and they were in a terrible form of bondage. Can you put in the chat bondage? Because that's going to be huge as we go on. They were in the bondage of ignorance, error, sin, law, and superstition. This is critical here as we think about this, being in bondage. The Jews were just caught up in going through the same old, and there was no freedom, and the truth had been manipulated. But as we renew our minds in the Word of God, we're actually set free. free. Yeah, there's freedom in God's word as we trust him. I remember many, many years ago as our kids were youth in the house and we were homeschooling them, we had them to go through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has 31 chapters, so we would read a chapter a day as a family. And we did that for years and years because I wanted them to have the wisdom and I wanted them to renew their minds. And not just for them, I wanted to go through it to hear the wisdom of God speak into my life every day, that I could grasp him and I needed to abide in the word. And I encourage you, that's what the word of God does. It gets us and it changes our messed up thinking so that we can be more like the Lord. Look at John 8:33. They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone." These Pharisees, Sadducees, they step up trying to defend themselves. They said, "How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Can you put in the chat slave? We're going to be dealing with that. "And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Can you just shout out, "Free indeed"? I'm telling you, that is so important. Here's the point. Are you a slave? Wow, those are charged. I sent you. I heard some of you like, I am not a slave. But the question is, in this point, are you a slave? The word slave here is used more in the term, at least in the Greek, held in or forced into servitude or enslaved. I want to read that again. Held in or forced into servitude or enslaved. What is enslaving your mind? What's enslaving your life? I'll say that again. What's enslaving your mind? What's enslaving your life? I've seen this over years of just being on this terra firma and dealing with people. There's so many people that their minds have become enslaved. They've been caught up in doing it the same old, and can't see any way out. They can't see any difference, even if that mindset has been detrimental to their lives. Have you ever met somebody that's always going through, always making bad decisions, always in bad relationships, always choosing the wrong person? I'm telling you, that's an enslavement of the mind. In context here, Israel had been in bondage to Egypt and Assyria and Babylon and Persia and Greece and now Rome. So in the physical sense, they were enslaved, but it was bigger than just their physical bondage as a country. Jesus is actually talking about sin. They are in bondage to sin. When we abide in the word, we can recognize that we're set free as Christians in God. As we renew our minds, we become more like Christ. We become more like the Father has designed us to be, because now we are following his word. We're walking in him. We are abiding in him. We're connected. He is abiding in us as we are abiding in him. Paul the Apostle was led by the Holy Spirit as he wrote these words to give us an understanding. I want to read through these and I want you to apply it to your life about in the word. Romans 6:1, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Romans 6:5, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. I want you to focus on this verse 6, "knowing this, that our old man was crucified," I'm talking about abiding in the word, "crucified with him, that the body of sin," we're talking about not being enslaved to sin or bondage, "might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." Romans 6:7, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." Any free people out there? We're talking about a spiritual life that God has given us now. "If we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him." Romans 6:10, "For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God." This verse 11, "Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That 12th verse, "Therefore, do not let sin, I'm telling you, put it in the chat. Do not let sin. Do not let sin. That's a powerful statement. You got to fight through this and know that abiding in God gives you the power to overcome the temptation that the enemy is bringing your way. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. I'm telling you, there ought to be some shouts in here to know that God has given us authority, that we can abide in Him, renew our mind, that no matter what the devil brings our way, we can plead the blood of Jesus, for you're not under the law, but under grace. God put this on my heart. Please get this. Abiding in the Word walks us out of our bondage. Oh, that's worthy of a clap right there. Abiding in the Word walks us out of our bondage. What bondage is in your life? What sin so easily besets you? I'm telling you, if you can get in the Word, I'm a witness to it, God will begin to change how you think about things. He'll begin to change how you talk. He'll begin to transform you, and you'll be able to hear the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that still, small voice. Look at John 8:37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, Jesus said, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And when they said to him, we were not born of fornication, we have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come to myself, but he sent me. This 43rd verse, why do you not understand my speech? Jesus says, because you are not able to listen to my word. Here's the point. Refusing to listen. Yes, refusing to listen. This is a challenge in our day and time. I am coming and seeing so many people on our internet and on our news channels just refusing to listen. Oh, they'll be before you. They'll sit there and it seems like they're partaking in, but they've already decided. Remember last Sunday, we talked about that issue that many people don't listen. They refuse to listen. What they're doing is formulating a reply, and the greatest form of respect is to actually listen. But here the Pharisees, Sadducees, many in the crowd were refusing to listen. They wanted to do it their own way. Jesus peels back the intentions of the heart. We can often pretend like we're something that we're really not. Can I say that? We can pretend like something that we're really not. I truly believe that pretension, that hypocrisy that's in life, it's going to come out. Everybody's going to see eventually who we truly are. Luke 12:2 out of the Contemporary English Version says it like this: everything that is hidden will be found out, and every secret will be known. Whatever you say in the dark will be heard when it is day. Whatever you whisper in a closed room will be shouted from the housetop. We are commanded to abide in the word, but here is the main reason that Jesus brings out this, the refusal of listening. Look at John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil. Jesus says this, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Here's the point. Who is your daddy? Yes. Who is your daddy? Now, this is critical in our day of this technological advancements with DNA. They've got many shows on there, and they really bring people on, and they have these different men, and there's a child that doesn't know who their daddy is. The mom will come on, and they'll do these in DNA things, and they'll find out who is. They'll go, you are the daddy, 99.9%. But I'm telling you, God has a spiritual application to this. I believe some some people say that God the Father through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is their daddy, but by their actions in their life, we find out that their daddy is the devil. Look at this, John 8:44. He says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." What is going on in our lives? I believe as Christians, there should be a desire, as said earlier, to want God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. But if you're desiring what the enemy wants you to do over and over again, you got to ask yourself, am I really saved? This is what Jesus is really extrapolating and bringing out to those that are around. Look at that second part. He says, does not stand in the truth. That's the devil, because there is no truth in him. I'm telling you, as we abide in the word, we actually understand what truth is, and we must walk in that because we want to please the Father. That last part says, for he is a liar, the devil, and the father of it. Have you seen that in this season and time? So many lies that are around, and that lets me know that this is a season that's ripe for the gospel to go forth, that people can know the truth and know that it will set them free, that they can have an introduction to Jesus Christ, because he is truly King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I believe that it's getting close to his return, and we've chosen to bow down now. But do you know what the scriptures say? That every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We must abide in the word. How many lies have people believed in the world because they didn't abide in the word? They took God's word for granted. Augustine said this: they were children of the devil by imitation. They showed their relationship to the devil by living the way he lived. Who is your daddy? These final verses, let me pull this together. John 8:46. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Abide in the word. Here's our last point. Choose to hear God. Yes, choose to hear God. We've got a sect that's refusing to hear God. But now this point is bringing out, there's a choice to be made. And that is to abide, to renew our mind. We must choose to abide in God's word. Romans 12 is really the foundation, should be the foundation of our life. Part of that is the memory scripture, Romans 12:1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, here it is, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's your baseline, to abide in the word. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is abiding in the word. This is what is produced on the inside of us, and I'm telling you, it will change your life. Are there any amens out there? You can put it in the chat, that when we get in the word, it changes your life. It gives us so much understanding of what's going on in our world, but most importantly, we can see that we're in need of a Savior, and we begin to thank God for his Holy Spirit. In Psalms 119, the psalmist brings out an amazing way in the ninth verse. He said, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I've sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Psalms 119 and 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Abide in the word. God is saying that he wants us to get the word on the inside, that we hide it in our heart. We carry it around. It's a part of who we are. When we're in the grocery store, we got the word with us. I'm telling you, in our heart, in our mind, renewing our mind. When we're on our job, when we're in our car, when someone cuts us off or does something that we don't like, we are abiding in God's word because God has been so good. Psalms 119, 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. That's that renewal of mind. As we're abiding, the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our guide. Psalms 119, 13. With my lips I've declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will, here it is, meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I'll abide in your word. I'm going to chew on that thing, and I'm going to get it in my heart. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. This is so important as we're thinking about what God is doing on the inside of us. As we conclude this section of scripture for today, I'm so glad that God has given us an opportunity to just to meditate on his word, to abide in him. Any glad folks out there? I want to just take it to the cross and let you know why this is so important. See the word that we are abiding in, it really is Christ. Thank God for the 66 books, because the 66 books reveal Christ. It shows us what he's done for us. Let me show you John 1:1. In the beginning, somebody say, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I'm so glad for that, because now we find out that abiding in the word means to abide in Christ Jesus. But the Holy Spirit goes on to reveal, and John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I am so glad for God's word today, because Jesus goes to the cross of Calvary, the word that was manifested in the flesh for us, and he carried our sins and bore our griefs. He died on that cross. But I'm so glad to tell you that 3 days later, he got up with all power and all glory for you and me, so that we can have an opportunity to abide in him. Saints, so often we take for granted the price that was paid for us. Jesus, as he's challenged by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the ultimate level that he's going to is to the cross. That's the level he's going. If I be lifted up, he says, I'll draw all men unto me. He goes to that cross, dies for us, is resurrected, so that we could have an opportunity to be in him, to be a part of his family, and to share that to others who are walking in darkness, that they can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. But it starts with this renewal of our mind and abiding in him and really being convinced. Remember, we talked about being a disciple. We've got to be convinced. We've got to adhere and know with our whole heart what God is doing in our lives and in the world today. I encourage you, if you don't know him today, to give in, to arrest yourself in him and say, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I've been in bondage. I'm a slave to sin. And the only way I know out is what the word says. I want to come to you. I need that truth, because the Son, the scriptures say, can set me free. And I want to be free indeed. I'm telling you, cry out to him right now. Ask him into your heart. Believe that God raised him from the dead, that he died and took on your sins, that you are a sinner that's in bondage. And the only way you can be set free is by abiding in his word. He will save you right now. To the saints of God, as we are traversing through this life of so many ups and downs and challenges and temptations, we got to stay in the word. I'm telling you, if ever there was a time to abide in the word, it sure is now. It is. We must get in the word. As the saints said that song, if ever was a time, it sure is now. It is. This is the time to get into him, to abide him, to love on him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's so many things that are lurking around us, but I am so glad to know that God is our covering. He is our everything. He orders our steps, and as we abide in him, oh, he gets us to where we need to be at, to share the good news. Are there any excited folks about the good news and what the Lord is doing? As we go into prayer today, whatever your challenges may be, maybe you are a Christian and you're saying, Pastor, I've got some things that I'm in bondage to, and I want to lay them down at the foot of Jesus. God can deliver you from it. We've given the invitation for salvation. Maybe there's some other struggles within your life. As we pray, I want you to just bring it to the altar, the virtual altar right now, and just say, God, I need you. I need to abide in you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word. You are so wonderful, Lord. We just worship you and we magnify you, God. Lord, we ask for forgiveness for times that we haven't abided in you, Lord. We haven't abided in the word. We've taken you for granted. But today, Lord, we renew ourselves as we renew our mind, and we want to be strong for you, Lord. Use us as your disciples. Yes, Lord, that we are fully convinced that you are real, that you died on the cross, that you got up on the third day, and that you're coming back soon. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the church right now. Lord, thank you for saving souls and adding to the body as you see fit, Lord. And we just thank you, God, for those things that have brought us into bondage. Today, we shake them off, Lord. We thank you that the chains are broken, Lord. We thank you that right now we walk in your authority, Lord. We just say thank you that you're our daddy, Abba Father. We just give you praise, honor, and glory for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord. Oh, I woke up early this morning. My heart was beating right on time. I said, Lord, I truly thank you for opening up these eyes of mine. Then I went over to my window, and while looking through the shade, once again I had to tell him, thank you, Lord, but let me see another day. Now the sun was brightly shining, the wind was blowing not too strong. In a treetop just a few feet away was a robin singing a song. I don't know what he was singing, pretty soon he was on his way. Who's to say he wasn't being grateful and saying thank you for another day? Everybody ought to praise his name, be thankful, and everybody ought to, yeah, cause if a robin can say thank you, listen. Oh, I woke up early this morning, my heart was beating right on time. I said, Lord, I truly thank you for opening up these eyes of mine. Then I went over to my window, and while looking through the shade, once again I had to tell him, thank you, Lord, but let me see another day. Everybody ought to praise his name, thankful and praise his name. Everybody ought to praise his name, yeah, cause if a robin could say thank you, come on and praise his name. He woke you up this morning, he put food on your table, yeah, cause if a robin could say thank you, come on, come on, and he's been good, y'all. He woke you up this morning, yeah, cause if a robin could say thank you, you can do it too.
Just want to thank you so much for just sticking around or meeting us for communion. We realize that because of going into the season, COVID is still out there, flu is happening, RSV, that some of you just don't see it as prudent to get out, and you've been led to stay home. But we still want to give you an opportunity to have communion, just take in this most holy time with the Lord. Before we get into communion, I encourage you right now, if there is anything in your heart that shouldn't be there, if you're holding any ought, we were teaching in 1 John the other day, and literally, as Christians, we cannot hold unforgiveness in our hearts. It doesn't work, because God has put his love on the inside, and that manifestation of that love is forgiveness. So if there's something that you're holding against somebody, just let it go right now. If you can get to that person, hey, pause this and
send them a text, call them up, say, I am sorry, and then come back and have communion. Go ahead and get those articles, wherever it is. If you have a communion cups, you're right with us, but maybe you need to get some bread or some juice. The biggest thing is that we're focusing on abiding in God's word, what he has told us when it comes to this communion. So at this time, I'm going to ask Bianca to just open us up in prayer, that she'll pray over the bread and juice, and then we're just going to jump in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 11:23. If you want to get that Bible, we're going to have it as we're going to read it. But if you want to get your Bible and read along with us, hey, it's right there. But I want you to focus in on who God is. Bianca.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you so much for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you for his spilled blood that is represented today through the juice, Lord. And we thank you for his body that was broken for us, that is represented today through the bread, Lord. We ask that you would forgive us, that you would help us to be reconciled to our brothers and sisters in Christ so that we don't take this in an unworthy manner. And Lord, again, we just praise you and thank you for the gift of your son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:23, it starts out very powerful. Paul the Apostle gets a revelation from God about what communion is all about. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come.'" This is why we're here today, to think about that death, burial, and resurrection. And we need to understand that. We need to purpose in our heart as we're taking this to make sure that we're focused in on who God is. We don't want to take this for granted. The scripture goes on. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." We don't want to be guilty. We want to get it right. And that 1 Corinthians 11:28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So we have a discernment of what he has done for us. And we want to make sure that we judge ourselves. Look at this. "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Isn't that heavy? Scripture goes on in 1 Corinthians 11:31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." So God is telling us, as we take this communion day, that we think wholeheartedly on where we are. Are we abiding in the Lord? Are we celebrating him and all that he is? So if you grab those articles, Jesus goes up into that upper room on the Passover, and the disciples are there, and they think it's just like any other Passover. They don't realize that Christ is getting ready to go to the cross. But in the midst of their celebration and going through, Jesus picks up that bread and he breaks it. And he says, "This represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together." In like manner, Jesus gets that cup, that goblet that is usually shared amongst themselves. And he lifts it up and he said, "This represents my blood that's going to be shared for you. As often as you drink it, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together." What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Saints, as we continue through our days, our weeks, as we're in this community of so much things that are going on, I want you to know Jesus is real. Yes, I want you to plead the blood of Jesus and all that that means. And as we walk forth, we're going to share the good news that Christ is alive. And guess what? He is coming back again. Well, I want you to be encouraged. And until we meet again, you'd be blessed.